People can tell a lot from the tone of our voice. It's the difference between, oh, you got a promotion? Like, I'm really happy for you. Or, oh, you got a promotion? Well, I'm really happy for you, I think. In today's gospel, Jesus tells us, my sheep hear my voice. And I think even as Christians, as the flock that the good shepherd shepherds, we may often, well, what is the tone of the Lord's voice? What does his voice sound like? And it might be easier to start off by reflecting on a couple of things that Christ's voice does not sound like. And out of that realization, we can begin to hear God's true voice amid all the noise that bombards us every day. So for one thing, I've come to know through prayer, thank God, that God's voice is not one of pressure. And what I mean is God doesn't pressure us out of fear into doing his will. This kind of thing is always the voice of our insecurities. It's always the voice of some other influence, maybe even the enemy himself. Not to mention, it's the exact opposite of what Christ's mission is. For freedom, Christ has set us free. The voice of pressure makes us feel like we don't have any options, that we're trapped. But God never pushes us to the brink of that kind of paralyzing fear. He never pushes us that way. St. John tells us in his letter that perfect love casts out fear. So fear and pressure is definitely not the tone of God's voice. The Lord wants to drive away all the pressures and fears that just kind of bombard us each day because he wants us to be able to choose him freely. And that's what love consists of. We see this love in action most especially on the cross. Christ crucified proves to us that our God doesn't want to impose his will on us. Instead, he lets us have our way with him. He lets us have our way with him, even if we mistreat him, even if we ignore him, even if we make fun of him, even if we crucify him. And all the while, he gazes back at us from the midst of all of his pain and says quietly, you're free to choose me or reject me. I will not force you to love me. But still, here I am. I'm not going to stop loving you just because you reject me. I will turn even your rejection into the means of your salvation. Often, this kind of voice, this voice of unconditional suffering love, takes the form of total silence. And that can be painfully unnerving for us. The look of Jesus from the cross may sound like absolutely nothing. But it is a silence that is deafening. It is a love that says, I'm not going anywhere, guys, even if you push me away, even if you choose to throw me away. So that's one thing. God doesn't speak to us in fear and pressure. He doesn't force his will on us. Secondly, God never speaks to us through accusation. So as soon as you hear that little voice in your head have the tone of accusation, you know that it's not God. He never belittles us. He desires that we grow and mature. He wants nothing more than for us to grow in virtue and life, that we can flourish in him. But the last thing that he would ever do is squish us like a bug or drag us down into discouragement. But we hear it all the time somewhere deep in our hearts. We hear the voice, a jabbing, dark tone that says, you have nothing to offer. You are so weak, so imperfect, so self-centered. How can you claim to love God? How can you claim to be doing his will? Give up. The sooner that you give up, the sooner you'll stop ruining everything. And it's tempting to give this exhausting and belittling and accusative voice a little bit of room in our hearts because somewhere we kind of see a sliver of truth to it, that we aren't loving God fully yet. But we call Satan the accuser for a reason. He enjoys finding our actual faults, the ones that are really there in our hearts, and then puts a magnifying glass over them. Like a kid with a magnifying glass over bugs. He likes to focus that light, the good light even. He wants to focus the light onto like that one little pinpoint of fault. Not that it might be healed, but that he can turn us away from God, that we can become preoccupied with it. Because when we focus on our faults in that way, when we focus on the accusations, then we turn away from God, and the devil lives for that kind of game. It's slavery. It's slavery in the end. God, on the other hand, will certainly convict us of all of our sins, but always in love, always in view of the cross. Sometimes I think this feels pretty brutal, and we can even misinterpret God's little finger like, hey, have you ever looked at that, as accusation. Nobody likes hearing that they're wrong. Nobody likes to hear that they're sinning. But it's always in view of salvation. Christ is like the dentist who says that that tooth has to be pulled. We don't want to hear it. We don't like the drills. We don't like the pliers. But it's the only way to not have a toothache. He'll help us understand those faults better, too. And not to discourage us. Never to discourage us, but to always free us. That's the voice of the Lord. That's the voice of the Good Shepherd. St. Cyril of Jerusalem once said, "The supreme physician is too experienced to be defeated by your wounds." Sometimes we think that our wounds are just so horrible and so bad and like, oh my gosh, like how's it ever going to work out? But God isn't threatened by your sins, and God is never threatened by your wounds. Instead, listen to the Savior when he says, "My wounds will heal your wounds if you let them. My wounds will let you, will heal your wounds if you let them." So the voice of our God is one of intense love. It's kind of freaky. It's scary at times, but it's always gentle. It's always good. It's always trustworthy. It's never one of pressure. It's never one of accusation. So let's listen to him in the silence sometimes of suffering, in the silence of the cross. And just trust that he is a good shepherd.